right. Boys, I tell you, it's been good to be here already. Just a blessing to be able to be in God's house with God's people. And I'm looking forward to what God's laid on Brother Allen's heart. Now, Brother Allen, I had him laid on my heart back beginning of the year. And the Lord's just provided every way and done everything like that. And I'm glad, excuse me. And I'm looking forward to what God's got in store. Now, he's been a little while since he's been here. And I was just thinking about that, too, a few minutes ago. I thought, man, I think the last time Brother Allen was here, we was only in our second year or third year being here, something like that. It's been at least. But anyway, Brother Allen, we've been 6 years at this church in October. So anyway, the time's going by, and it's going by quickly. But anyway, Brother Allen, you come on, and you mind the Lord whatever he's laid on your heart to do.
Glad Brother Josh, Miss Heather get to sit together today. Isn't that good? That's sweet.
Once a year.
I'm so glad I'm here this morning. And I mean that. I hope you know that. Even if I didn't want to come and I got here and it was rough, I'd still be nice, but I'm glad I'm here. I mean, I'm glad I'm here. I've enjoyed the church service so far.
Amen.
Well, you're right. If we left now. Now, there's one thing. Brother Josh said, the Lord come get us right now and meet his mom and dad. I got one request. If the Lord will wait till after we eat, I'll be happy. I smelt that food. If he'll just let us eat, then come get us. I'll be all right with that. I tell you, that food is smelling good. I told Janet when we pulled up, I said, I'm going to ask Brother Josh if we can eat first. And then, but he wouldn't do that. He said there wouldn't be nobody to preach to after that. But this is a highlight day for the church, homecoming day for the church. And I'm mindful of that when I get to go to places. And it's a special day, a special time. And I'm privileged to get to go preach. And I've said this before. When somebody gets saved at the church, that's a big highlight day, ain't it? That's big. That's a good church day.
Amen.
Then you get to baptize them. That's a good day when you get to have a baptizing at the church. And then they join the church. And then you have special days like homecoming day. This is a good time. And to hear that the church is still here.
Amen.
Still here after 80 years. 80, is that right? I mean, the first meeting was 80 years ago next year. And it's still here. There are some churches closed down.
Amen, brother.
They're not operating anymore. They're done. For whatever reason, the doors are shut. And some of the buildings have been sold. And there's no church there anymore. Used to be a witness for the Lord. And it's gone. Now, I don't mean the Lord's out of business. But they've been some churches, but they're out of business. They're not. It's a blessing to have a church 80 years old, or how long it is. And it's still going for the Lord. Have a good, sweet service like we're having. I miss Brother Earl, don't y'all? I miss him. Wow. What a blessing.
Amen.
I remember him when he came. I was at the meeting. I preached two revival meetings, and I've been back over at Blue Valley several times. But I believe that was 2011. I preached the meeting, and him and Miss Helen came, and they sang. And I knew there's something special about him then. And he ain't changed a lick. He's got better, I think. He's got, boy, that adds to the service, don't it?
Yes, sir.
Somebody, you can feel it from their heart.
Yes.
Anybody can get up and put on the dog. I mean,
yeah,
you can do that. You got any talent at all, you can get up and put on a show. But boy, when it comes from the heart, you feel that.
That's right.
And Brother Earls, he's blessed our hearts here this morning.
Yeah,
him and Miss Shirley being here. And I'm so glad that I'm here also. And Lord, my mind's racing in all kinds of different directions. Brother Josh, thank you for allowing me to come, brother. Thank you so much for allowing me the great privilege to stand where you stand on a regular basis and feed this flock. And you ought to appreciate somebody that'll feed you. That's what he's supposed to do, is feed the flock. Feed the flock of God, which is among you. That's what Simon Peter wrote. And you are among the flock here. And to be fed, Oh, you ought to thank God for that. Amen. Josh, I appreciate you, brother, so very, very much. And I can't believe how time's getting by. Is it 2 or 3 years? It was December, right?
December.
When I preached tonight, and Brother Tommy preached tonight, preached three nights apiece. I believe that's right. And so I appreciate being back. And I'm watching my clock right here, okay? I want to be mindful. I'm hungry. How many of y'all did not eat breakfast? Raise your hand with me this morning. You had no, golly. I'm going to lose y'all in 5 minutes, I'm pretty sure. But I'm going to try to be mindful of the time. I want you to turn to two passages of Scripture. The first one in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter number 16. And then I want you to turn to John chapter number 6. Exodus 16. And John chapter number 6. I appreciate my friends. Brother Earl was singing a couple of songs about that mentioned he's my best friend. I like that song when Don Williams sang it. But anyway, I like Brother Earl singing it today. That was good. And you know, I look for things when I get to the church house to kind of know I'm on the right track.
Right.
Now, I preached a message from this. Now, if y'all remember it, y'all have got great minds. And I can't hardly remember what I preached 3 weeks ago. I'm honest.
Yeah.
But I remember preaching from this text right here. I can't tell you how many years ago it was. It was a long time ago. Brother Burles was here. I preached several times here. But I remember Brother Oliver Rice was here. He sat right there on the front row, and I preached a message from Exodus 16. But this ain't the same message. I think I knew a direction I went with that. And I wanted to preach that one again. Good gracious. I love when you see what we're getting ready to look at. And when Brother Earl was singing that song, when he got to the chorus of "He's My Best Friend, He's My Bread When I'm Hungry."
Amen.
"He's My Bread When I'm Hungry." I know we're having homecoming today, and that was kind of in my mind. There's probably some bread back in there. There's some corn. I can smell corn. But there's probably some bread back over there. And I like eating bread with my meal. I just have a habit. I got a fork in one hand, usually some kind of bread in the other, and that's the way I eat. But I'm going to tell you, there's another bread too. We need physical bread to sustain life. But there is another bread that we must have to sustain spiritual life.
Amen.
Here's the story when God gave his young'un some bread.
Amen.
In Exodus chapter number 16. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for letting us be here just like this. Lord, we've already been blessed. My heart has been blessed. And Lord, I pray that you would take your word today, aided by the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, speak to our hearts even in a greater way. Lord, I want to lift up your darling Son and our sweet Savior, the Lord Jesus. I want to lift him high. And I want us to leave here today saying, we seen Jesus today at the church house. And I believe we already have. But Lord, even in a greater way, through your word, would you honor your word one more time? Lord, I'll thank you. I promise you, I'll personally thank you for how you help us today in the word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just before you're seated, I want you to look at verse number 14 of Exodus chapter 16. The children of Israel have just come out. They've just come out of Egypt.
Right.
They've crossed the Red Sea. Boy, what a miracle that was. Mm-hmm. And they're needing something to eat.
Right.
And so when we pick up our reading in verse number 14, I'm going to go back in chapter 15 in just a minute. I don't know I don't know what direction I'm going just yet, but I trust the Holy Ghost to help me.
Amen.
But when we come to verse 14, it's morning after they have crossed the Red Sea. They've been in the wilderness for a few days. I'm going to say something about water. But now it's breakfast time. It's morning time. It's time for the babies to eat. It's time for mom and daddy, mama and papa. It's breakfast time. So what's the Lord going to do to provide breakfast for the children of Israel in the wilderness? What's he going to do? Well, here it is, verse 14. "And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. When the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, 'It is manna,' for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, 'This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Here's what we're supposed to do with it. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer. And that's about between 3 and 4 pints. An omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over. And he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Well, notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Thank you for standing, and you may be seated. Well, here is a perfect picture. A perfect picture of how that God took care of His people. Amen. Took care of His children and took care of His young'uns. And I know this is off the cuff and it's right off and it's the understatement of the whole message. I do know. I've been saved 42 years. Some of you have been saved longer than that. And I do know that the Lord has taken care of us until now. Amen. And I'm confident on the authority of God's Word and God's promise, He is still going to take care of His young'uns till Jesus comes and takes us out of this ungodly world. Amen. He's going to take care of you. Amen. You say, well, how? I don't know, but He knows how. Amen. I don't know all the details. I don't need to know the details. What I'm supposed to do is trust Him. Got to trust Him. And I say this the right way, but He has positioned Himself to where He has to take care of us. And I'm careful the way I say that. Right. He has said, I'll take care of you. You live for me, and I'll bless you. And not necessarily that. See, the deal in the Old Testament was, if you do right, I'll bless you. Uh-huh. Well, I want to say, I've come all the way from the other side of Rosman to tell you this morning, God has already done right by us. Amen. And we ought to serve Him because He has done right. He saved us. He kept us out of hell. He's blessed us. I thank Him this morning right in the altar. I thank Him for traveling mercies just coming up the road and getting to the church house. Well, the devil would kill every one of us if he could. But God took care of us again. I don't know how He does it. On these roads, hey, we're getting the road paved. That's good. That's going to help some. We can drive faster. That's really going to help, ain't it? God's going to take care of you.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord.
You may be sitting there right now and say, I don't see how. I don't know why. I don't even know how I'm going to make it tomorrow. God's going to take care of you on the authority of His Word if you belong to Him. Amen. He took care of them. He's going to take care of us. I believe that.
He's
going to take care of us.
Yes, sir.
Here they are. Now, if I need to prove something, I want to prove something. I want to say this. Manna in Scripture, I believe, is a type of Jesus Christ. Now, there's others that would argue, and I wouldn't argue. I believe it's a type too, Brother Josh, of the Word of God. Remember in the desert when Jesus had fasted 40 days and then the Mohegan devil come to Him? When He is at a low ebb in His life, 40 days, Jesus hadn't ate a thing, and here come the devil. Said, all right, let's see what you got. I'm paraphrasing, but if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread.
Right.
You're hungry? You say you're God? Turn these rocks into bread.
Amen.
You know what Jesus told him, don't you? Man shall not live by bread alone,
Amen.
But by every word that That's proceedeth right. out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
So I wouldn't, matter of fact, I agree that manna is a type, Brother Cameron, I believe it's a type of the Word of God. That manna, hey, we need spiritual manna every day.
Yes, amen.
We need that Word of God every day. The written Word, hey, I need to hear something from God too, don't you?
Amen.
Now, I've never heard God speak in an audible voice. I love what Brother Hurt used to say, and I've quoted him several times. He said, I've never heard God speak in an audible voice. He said, it's much clearer than that. You know when God speaks, don't you? I mean, that's God speaking. That ain't mama or daddy or anybody else. That's God speaking. And you know it's Him. You know it's Him. I need to hear from Him. And His Word is food to my soul. I got to have it if I'm going to stay spiritually strength, you know, for spiritual strength and to not get anemic. I've got to have a dose of the daily Word of God. So I wouldn't jump on you. Matter of fact, I'd say, amen, if you said, I believe manna is a type of the Word of God.
Bless you, Lord.
But did you turn to John 6? Did you find that? I want you to turn over there. I marked it when I come in and sit down. I flipped over here. I'm not saying I'm proving, but I'm going to prove something to you, all right, right here. That I do believe that manna best typifies the person of Jesus Christ. John chapter number 6. Boy, here's an outfit trying to trick Jesus. Bunch of Jews and Pharisees. But he's surrounded by a whole group of people trying to trip him up. Can you imagine trying to trip God up? Good luck with that one too, by the way. He's God. Look at verse number 28. Then said they unto him, they're talking to Jesus, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? You know that was going on 2,000 years ago. Matter of fact, the idea of works so that we can please God, that was going on in Jesus' day.
That's right.
I can take you back to the Garden of Eden. It's been going not only 2,000 years when Jesus was here, it's been going back 6,000 years in Adam and Eve's day. Remember when God said, I demand a blood sacrifice? And Abel brought the blood of that lamb. But what did Cain do? He said, I'm going to work on this deal a little bit. I'm going to go pick the best maters and taters and cucumbers and corn. And I'm going to bring the fruit of the ground. I'm going to work and I'm going to bring that to Jesus for my salvation. Oh, hey, work salvation has always been around. But I'm going to tell you, you don't work for your salvation, do you?
Amen.
Brother Earl's already told us in song, there's only one way to get to heaven. There's only one way to be saved, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Period. That's it. That's it.
Good preaching.
But here they are. I said, Lord, tell us what we can work to work the works of God. What can we work? What can we do to make God happy and do some works for God? I love what Jesus said. This will help you right here. These people still today in our society wanting to work. Hey, and they're religious people. They're church people. And they still think they got to work to please God for salvation.
That's right. Bless you, Lord.
I know better than that.
Yes, sir.
Look what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work. I underline this in my Bible right here. You ought to underline this. This is the work of God. You want to do something to work for God? Here it is. Look what he said. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. You want to do something? Just believe on Jesus that God sent. That's the only work you need to work. And that'll work. He said, just believe on him. That's talking about Jesus. He's talking about himself. Believe on him whom the Father, whom he hath sent. But they're not satisfied yet. They said therefore unto him, what sign? We want a sign now.
Yeah.
What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? Why should we believe you? Matter of fact, we're not going to take it at your word. Show us a sign.
Uh-huh.
You know, Jesus, when he fed the 5,000, well, there's 5,000 men.
That's right.
Plus women and children. I don't know how many that was. Brother Bill, that's a lot of people. There were thousands, plural, of people there that day.
Yeah.
Jesus took, what, five fish?
Yeah.
How many barley loaves?
Five
loaves. How many fishes? Two fishes. Five and two, that's seven.
Yeah.
They were small, like a sardine deal. Five barley loaves and two fishes. And Jesus broke it and he blessed it and fed that whole thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people.
Yes, sir.
Now listen to me. As long as he was passing out the fish and the hush puppies, and the French fries. Oh, they love this miracle working man.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Oh, look at the miracles he did. But you read on in that chapter. That's a long chapter. Matter of fact, I believe it's in John. We're in it right here. It's in the one we're in right here. Toward the end of the chapter, how many verses in this? Let me 71 verses in this chapter. That's a long chapter. But by the end of the chapter, when Jesus began preaching, I don't know why I'm going right here with this. I hadn't thought of this in a long, long time. But when Jesus started preaching and teaching like he is right here, they're wanting to work and do all these things. They said, the only work you need to do is believe on him that he has sent.
Amen.
Wow. They started backing up. When Jesus started preaching the word, brother, they started dispersing.
That's right.
And they started leaving. Now listen, I wish the house was full. I wish he's having to build on plumb to the road. But we're not having those kind of problems in these days, are we? People don't want to hear the word anymore. They don't want to live right. They don't want to do right. They do not want to hear the word of God.
That's right.
Listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Jesus Christ preached away. He preached away the biggest crowd that he ever had. When he began to toe the line and talk about believing on him, they started leaving. And then at the end of this chapter, remember what Jesus said? He turned to his 12 disciples. And brother, the way I see it, he went from thousands and thousands and thousands of people of looking at 12.
That's right.
You know what he asked them, don't you? Will ye also go away? You going to go away too? You going to leave? The rest of them left. The food's gone. They've left. They got what they want. They're gone. I like what Simon Peter said, don't you?
Yes.
He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You've got the words that we need to hear. You're saying what we need for our soul, and we're not going. Who else are we going to go to? I want to tell Heady Mountain this morning, hey, where are you going to go if you leave this place? Where are you going to go if you leave the Lord? There's nobody else to go to. This is where you ought to be, right here. Just stay right here. Just pile up and stay right here. It's all right. Stay around this word right here. Keep singing the songs of Zion.
Amen.
Keep preaching and teaching that blessed book right there.
Amen.
It'll work.
Yes,
it's not popular. It's not supposed to be popular.
Amen.
But it'll work.
Yes, sir.
It'll work.
Amen.
It just works. Jesus said, they're wanting a sign. Now look at verse number 31. Look what they're thumbing their suspenders and said, our fathers did eat. What did they eat? They ate manna. They got this from our story in Exodus 16. They said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat.
Yes, sir.
Now, they're right in what they said. But read on. Then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven.
Amen. Yes.
For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. They said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Now I've got a star beside verse number 35. I circled the number 35 and I put a star beside it. And Jesus said unto them, I am.
Amen.
I'm proving that he is the manna.
Amen.
He said it himself.
Amen.
I am the bread of life.
Yes.
He said, you want the bread of life? You're looking at it.
Amen.
Here it is.
Amen.
I am what you need.
Bless you, Lord.
I am the bread of life.
Amen. Praise God.
That helps me.
Amen.
I know where my bread comes from, and I know who my bread is.
Amen.
It's Jesus. He's my manna.
Amen.
If I had a title, I don't even think I'd title this message. I'm just going to put, Jesus is my manna. Jesus, my manna. Jesus, my bread.
Yeah.
It's him. I hear some old-timers saying, Jesus, my manna. He's my manna. That's all right with me, too. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. All right, will you agree with me that manna probably best describes the person of Jesus Christ?
Oh, yes.
They mentioned manna, and he said, let me show you something about manna.
Yeah.
I am the bread of life. All right, go with me. I'm struggling to get to my, I don't know if I've got the main point. Turn with me back to chapter 15 for just a moment. I want to start this journey after they come from the Red Sea. And I want to try to help somebody here this morning, including myself. They've crossed the Red Sea, and if I've got this right, in our scripture, verse number 22 of chapter 15, let's back up before the manna came that morning, okay? So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness. So if I've got it right, they've crossed the Red Sea, 3 days they're walking in the wilderness. You see that next phrase? That's what I want to deal with for just a moment. I may not get back to that man. I want to deal with this right here. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now that's a long time ago, that water. I mean, you got children. You've got older people. You've got people, you've got families, and they're traveling. They're walking. They don't have nice rides like we do. They're walking. They might have some animals with them, but I'm going to tell you, the most part, they're walking. And they found no water. Well, verse 23 says, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were, what was wrong with them? They were bitter. Can you imagine that procession, that great host of, I don't know, Brother Josh, I've still got questions how many millions there could have been. I've heard all kinds of how many children of Israel came out of Egypt. There were millions of them. And those up front says, there's water. Can you hear as it goes back, we found water. Hey, they found water up there. Hey, we got water. They found water. And some of them they're needing water bad. But then the word comes back, says, we can't drink that water. It's bitter water. It's poisonous water.
Yeah.
Something's wrong with it. And they can't drink it. What are they going to do? Hey, they're going to die.
Yeah.
They are going to die if they don't get some water. Can I say this? This is what church is about. Hey, homecoming, revival meetings, whatever it is. We're talking about the man of the word. We need every bit of that. That's where we get our water from.
Amen.
This is our spiritual drink right here at the house of God and the Word of God and the fellowship of God's people. Hey, this is water for us.
Amen.
Every Sunday's a good time to come and get water, and Wednesday, whenever else. This is a good watering hole. Can
yes.
I put it that way? I just thought of that.
Amen. That's cool.
The Heady Mountain watering hole.
Amen, brother. Yes, sir.
This is it. Listen to me. You'll die without it. You'll die a spiritual death without a spiritual drink.
Amen.
Of spiritual water.
Blessing
you say, brother, I've been saved 40 years. Yeah, and I have too. I've been saved 42.
Blessing
but I can die a spiritual death, not losing my salvation now, but I can die a spiritual death.
That's right.
If I don't get some water now and then.
That's right.
We've got to have some water.
Blessing
we've got to have something from another world. Just like we have to have regular drinking water just to sustain life. You have to have it spiritual. All right, here they are. What are they going to do? There's nice water there, but it's poison. They can't drink it. Oh, here comes the people now. Verse 24, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? What in the world are we going to drink? Our baby's got to have water. Mom and daddy got to have some water. And he cried unto the Lord. Moses cried unto the Lord. And the Lord, get this, please. The Lord showed him a tree. Can I back up a little bit? They had only been traveling 3 days, if I've got it right, 3 days in the wilderness of Shur. And they found bitter water. I'm looking over this congregation. I sure don't want to kill homecoming day. This is a happy day. It's a good day. And we're finning to go eat here in a little bit, all right? We're going to. But if you're like me, if you've walked with the Lord any length of time, you probably didn't go very far in your spiritual life, and you had a bitter experience.
Yeah.
Everything ain't just happy and high and hallelujah and praise the Lord and glory to God. I love those times that it is. And you better soak them up when it is. But there'll be some bitter experiences in your life. I mean, you can just tell. It may happen in the family. It may happen at the workplace. It may happen at the house of God. There's some people gone through some bitter experiences at God's house. And that bitter experience has put bitterness in their heart. You know what the Bible says about bitterness, don't you? It's a root. Man, it digs out. And it springs up. Oh, my. Bitterness is a killer.
Yes, sir. Bless you, God. Help him,
Lord. I know some bitter people. I know what it's like to get edging toward that way of bitterness in my heart. I know what it is. Ain't something I've read in a book. I know what I'm talking about. There's some life experiences will make you bitter if you're not careful.
Amen.
You say, what are we going to do? I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to get a drink.
Amen.
You better get you some spiritual water somewhere. Amen. You'll wind up with a bitter spirit and a bitter heart. And they'll bury you out on the hillside somewhere with a bitter heart.
Amen.
And a bitter soul.
Blessing,
I don't want to die like that, do you? Hey, I don't want to live like that.
That's right.
By God's grace and help, I ain't going to live like that, Brother Eddie. I'm going to give me a drink every once in a while. Brother Patrick, got to have a drink. Now here's a bitter experience. That water represents bitter experiences among all. What are they going to do to turn that bitter water into sweet water? Now, here's what we would have done. Brother, if we found that big pool or pond or whatever it was, the water, we'd say, all right, somebody go to Jennings. Somebody go to McNeely's. Let's get some of them pumps. Let's pump this bad water out, and we're going to put some good water in there. That'd be the logical thing to do. Get the poison out and get the good in. That's the way we would do it. But that ain't what Jesus did. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Lord, for helping me with this. Here's what God can do. He can take the same water that was bitter. He don't have to change it out and put fresh water in. He can make that bitter water and transform it into sweet water.
Yes.
See, how's he do that? Ask him. I don't know, but he does it.
Right.
He did then that day. Oh, but here's what he did. And here's what you got to do. When that bitterness comes and a bitter experience comes in your life, you know what he said? Lord of mercy. I'm so excited right here. I'm trying to stay dignified as best I can. Verse 25, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord, underline this in your Bible if you write in your Bible, I did, and the Lord showed him a tree. Oh, wait, is that coincidence? I don't think so. I don't think the manna was coincidence. And I sure, brother, don't think that the tree is coincidence also. Now get this. Moses is praying. They're going to kill him. If they don't get some water, he said, Lord, this outfit's... That's what I heard one preacher say one time. That was Stephen's last prayer. He said, Lord, this outfit's a-killing me. He's praying. And he said, Lord, they need water. And the Lord showed him, not some trees, didn't show him a forest, didn't show him a lot, didn't show him a plot of ground. Brother Bill, you said it. He showed him a tree. A single, solitary, specific, emphatic, that tree.
Yeah.
That one. Not that one over here, but that one right there.
Yes, sir.
Not that one right there, this one right here. All right. Found the tree. Which when he cast into the waters were made sweet. There's that transformation. The waters were made sweet. Boy, there's been times in my Christian experience, I need God to make me sweet again.
Yes.
Got sour and got ill and got mean and got bitter in my heart.
Amen.
And boy, I just need to be, I didn't need to get saved again. I just need to be made sweet again.
Amen.
You say, well, how did the Lord help you do that? I'm going to tell you where I went. I got before the Lord. And I know I didn't go to a little tree, but I was looking a while ago. Look at this right here. You know what that tree represents, don't you?
Yeah, come on.
Somebody tell me what that tree represents. This is Old Testament. This is thousands of years before Jesus came on. It represents Calvary and the bloody cross of Jesus Christ. That one single, solitary, specific, emphatic A tree. The tree of the cross of Jesus Christ. Hey, right here it is. I found one in here. Right there it is. Take that tree and put it in the bitter waters. He can make bitter water sweet. Get to the cross. Put the cross in it. Put the tree in it. You can't fix it. I can't fix it. But the tree can fix it. Jesus can fix it. I don't know if it'll happen immediately. Some of my bitter experiences, it took a little bit. But it got sweet again. I'm ugly when I'm bitter. It ain't pretty being bitter. It's not pretty having a black heart. You say, I thought you were saved. Oh, I thought you was a preacher. Yeah, but you can get a black heart too.
Yeah, that's right, brother. Amen.
Get to the tree. Put the tree in it. Get to Jesus. The more you try to fix it, the worse it'll get. The more you try to fix it, the more bitter you'll become. Can you give it to Jesus? Can you put the tree in it? Put the tree in it. That tree. There's a cross back there. Y'all don't have to turn around. I see one back there on the back wall. Boy, that's good. Near the cross, O Lamb of God.
Yes.
Ain't that the last song in that church hymn? I believe it's 14. I believe that's the last song in that book. I just thought of that. Keep me near the cross. I know the cross. Really, we bow before a throne, but I'm going to tell you, every time we bow before that throne, it takes us to a bloody cross. It tells us where Jesus died for our sins to save us, and that same blood that saves us is the same blood that daily, continually cleanses us from all of our sins. Man, we can get clean. Hey, we can get sweet again. As Papa Ray, you say, boys, let's get on the happy side again. It don't have to be bad all the time. I know it's bad out there, but it ought to be sweet in the house of God. It ought to be sweet in our soul. I want to go to heaven sweet. I'm trying to be sweet to Janet here as best I can. And every time, boy, it gets... I got problems, you know. I just got problems. I tell everybody, as far as I know, I'm 62 years old, pretty good physically, as far as I know. Ain't got too many aches and pains, but I've got something up here they ain't got medicine for. I mean, I've just had it for a long time. I want to be sweet, don't you?
Yes.
You want to be effective in a horrible world? Be sweet in your soul.
Amen.
Be kind to people. Be good to people.
Yes, sir.
Our churches and church people and preachers and deacons and Sunday school teachers, we got such a bad name among the average community. You know what they say? You've heard it all your life. Well, if that's a Christian, I don't want nothing to do with that. Lord, we ought to be able to beat that. God can beat that.
Amen.
And I know we go through bitter experiences, but put the tree in it.
Amen.
It worked for the children of Israel.
Yes, sir.
It'll work for us. It has worked for us. It'll work again. All right, they got water. Gracious. God gave them water. Right that evening, it's supper time. Hey, we're going to eat, ain't we? They ate and we're going to eat too. People got to eat. It's one of my hobbies. I eat horrible stuff. Look, Josh, you coming on too, brother. You're going. They feeding you right. Miss Heather, you're doing good, sister. She's feeding him right. It's supper time. What are they going to eat? You can't go to a restaurant. You can't go through the drive-thru at McDonald's in the wilderness. That ain't going to happen.
Amen.
There's no food out there. If they're going to eat, God's got to provide it.
That's right.
There again, how much we depend on the Lord. If it wasn't for Him, we couldn't make it a day. We couldn't make it 3 days. We'd die spiritually. That evening, the Lord had a plan. Now, I'd been fine if it was chicken. I'd have been all right. And they're going to eat quail. And the Lord flew quail in. I'm not talking about way up there and you couldn't reach it with a 12-gauge. I'm talking just flew them in there. They caught them, captured them, fixed them. They ate quail for supper. That's eating high on a bird right there now. That's pretty good. They had quail for supper. The babies are satisfied. The grandbabies are satisfied. Mama and Papa's happy. Got a good belly full. Got good water. We've ate quail meat. But I can almost hear this. Now, I'm not just trying to be funny or just try to put something in the Bible that's not there. But have y'all ate like I have? Eat supper and you're swelled out to here. And you think, have we got bacon for breakfast? Do we? Is there bacon? What are we going to eat for breakfast in the morning? Honey, do we have eggs? I mean, we can't walk in the door and we're already wondering about what we're going to eat for breakfast in the morning.
Yeah. Amen.
We like to plan ahead.
Yeah.
We're planners, you know. I can imagine some of them that, okay, we have... Thank God for the water. We had some good water. Had some good quail meat for supper. But what are we going to do for breakfast?
That's right.
There ain't nothing. We can't go to Bojangles in the morning and get a biscuit.
Yeah.
What are we going to do for breakfast?
Yeah.
Is God going to provide? Well, He gave them water.
Yeah.
Gave them supper.
That's right.
Good preaching.
I got a sneaking feeling he gonna fix breakfast too.
Amen.
Yeah.
He going to take care of breakfast.
Amen.
We read it. In the morning, while the dew was on the ground, well, they looked out there and they saw a small round thing. It's like a little wafer. Small, round, small. I remember preaching that here. Remember that, Brother Eddie? Well, I'm glad I didn't preach that this morning. Brother Eddie said, you already preached that here. There was that manna. That manna lay on the ground. There it was. There's breakfast. And they went out and God provided for them again.
Amen.
Took care of them. There's breakfast. They didn't even know what it was. They'd never seen that before. And they couldn't describe it. So they just went out there and they said, manna. And that means, what is it?
Yeah, that's right.
It means, what is it? Never seen it like that before.
Yeah, that's right.
Have you ever tried to describe Jesus?
Come on.
It's about like trying to describe manna. Wow, beats all I've ever seen. Ain't never seen this before. I've never seen it like this before.
Yeah, amen.
Just try to describe and explain Jesus to somebody. I know we've got our little, but I'm going to tell you, you can't describe the indescribable.
That's right.
You can't explain the unexplainable.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, He is beyond explanation. And sometimes we just have to back up and say, what is it? And sometimes I pray this way. Me and Janet pray this way sometimes. Pray for a specific situation. I say, Lord, we'll just back up and say, even though we don't understand it, don't know what it is, we'll just say, this is what the Lord did right here. This is what Jesus did. This is what God did.
Amen.
They looked at that manna. They said, man, I don't know if they looked up or not. That's what I wanted to go to, how it describes, not only it describes Jesus, but it describes on how Jesus came.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly, let me just, where did it come from? Came from heaven. Where did Jesus come from? So I thought he come from Bethlehem. Oh, he didn't come from Bethlehem to start with. He is way before Bethlehem ever got here. He was way before the manger was ever built.
Amen.
He was in heaven. We read it in our scripture. I'm not going to go back and read it. But He came from heaven.
That's right.
You believe that?
Uh-huh.
You believe Jesus came from heaven?
Yes, sir.
Do you believe He is the not only the Son of God, but He is God the Son?
Yes, amen.
You believe that?
Yes, sir.
Especially today, we tell people we believe that Jesus is God.
Yeah.
Man, oh. They snarl. They think, you ignorant. You ignorant somebody for that Jesus is God. They don't believe that, but this is what this book teaches right here.
That's right.
You better believe it. Hey, you want to see the pearly gates of the golden city in heaven?
Amen.
You better believe Jesus is God.
Yes, sir.
You'll have to believe that. You don't understand it all when you got saved. Nobody does. But as you read and understand this book right here, we understand that Jesus came from heaven as God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Walked on this earth. Wow, my mind fails. Now, I was going to look it up last night, Janet, and I forgot to. I know it was 1969. Does anybody know when Neil Armstrong walked on the moon? What was it? It was 69, but I was trying to think of the month and the day. I had it in my mind at one time, and I forgot. It don't matter. Whatever day it was, when that door opened on that spaceship, Neil Armstrong, remember what he said? And I think I got it close. He said, one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind. Ain't that close, what he said? And Neil Armstrong put his human foot on the moon. Wow, that's a day, even though I can't remember the month. That is a historical day. That's one of the greatest days in history. I know some of my family members, my old-time family members, they didn't believe that a bit more than man on the moon. They didn't believe that. But I kind of believe they did. I kind of believe they went to the moon. And we say that when man walked on the moon was the greatest day in history. I beg to differ. The greatest day in history was not when man walked on the moon, but when God walked on the earth.
Amen.
He came down from heaven as the God-man and walked among men just like us, Brother Eddie. I mean, God walking on the earth. That's the greatest day in history. Hey, He came down from heaven.
Amen.
Just like the manna came out of heaven.
Amen.
Jesus came out of heaven. So that He could redeem people like us right here.
Amen.
Go to that old bloody cross. Die for us. And if we just believe, not try to work a bunch of works, but just believe on Jesus, believe in Jesus, we get saved. The manna came from heaven. Jesus came from heaven. Lord, I'm going to quit. I've got, see what I've got here? That don't matter. I want to say this. You know, when that manna came, I want two things quickly. I'm hungry. I've had no breakfast, okay? Not only did it come down from heaven, but it came at night. While they were asleep, when it was dark, the manna came. In darkness, the manna fell. I'm gonna make it personal with baby Jesus. If we turn around about twice, we'll be putting mangers and nativity scenes up. Remember in the story where it says, and there were shepherds? There were shepherds in the same country abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Daytime was, it was night. And while they were watching, all of a sudden, the heavens opened up. There was this bright, this angel brightened up and came and told them, behold. I got some good news.
Amen.
I bring you good tidings of great joy.
Yeah.
A bouncing baby boy has been born on this night. Mary birthed him, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in that manger at night. You may not know when you was born, morning or night, but Jesus was born at night. It was dark. The manna came when it was dark. The manna came at night. Do I even have to tell you? Boy, I like what somebody asked, requested prayer for our country. Brother Josh, you said the perfect words. No need to reiterate. No need to explain. Our country needs prayer. We're in a dark time, aren't we? You still believe folk can get saved?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Do you believe it can?
Yes, sir.
I think that's why we're still here.
Yeah.
Why would we hang around here if the Lord's not going to save anybody else? I know we got work to do, but the work is to get other people saved. I still believe that when the last one's saved, why would we stay around? I've thought that through. I've heard that all my life, and I've heard a lot of stuff all my life. I've rethunk. We're going out of here. But how dark is it? It's dark spiritually. Jesus is fixing to come back.
Amen.
He's coming back. Now, let me give you this, and I'm done. I promise you, okay? You can close your Bible. Close your Bible. I'm done. That'll help you. When you close your Bible, that means 23 minutes more, all right? Not really. Not really. In our text, it said that the dew lay on the ground. Now, if bread just fell out of heaven and went on that nasty ground, well, that wouldn't be real sanitary, would it? You wouldn't feed your baby that.
That's right.
You wouldn't want to eat dirty bread that fell right on the ground.
That's right.
Have dirt all over it and grass and whatever's on the ground. The Lord took care of that. I'm telling you, this is the way Jesus came too. At night, the dew fell first, and then the manna fell on top of the dew to keep it clean, to keep it pure, keep it sanitary, to keep it perfect. Now, when Jesus came, we believe He was the Son of God. Is that right? Do you still believe that Joseph had nothing to do with Jesus' birth?
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Do you believe Mary was a virgin when she gave birth to Jesus? Now, how's that going to happen? It's pretty simple.
That's right.
And Luke 1 tells us exactly. Mary, I said, how shall these things be? How can I have this baby? I've not known a man. The angel told her. Said the Holy Ghost. There's the top of that dew. That's the top of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is going to come down first.
That's good. Amen. That's good.
And when you conceive, it's going to be clean.
Amen.
When you conceive, it's going to be pure.
Amen.
When you conceive, it's going to be perfect. Because it's the seed of God. And I believe that's the way it happened. I don't know. But I do know the Holy Ghost overshadowed the Virgin Mary and she conceived in her womb the seed of God.
That's right.
And when Jesus was born, hey, the dew came first, hallelujah. The Holy Ghost came first, and then the conception, and then the birth. And His birth is perfect. He's still sinless. He's still perfect. And He's still God.
Amen.
Because the dew came first, hallelujah. Amen. That's how He came. I still believe we serve a sinless Savior, don't you?
Amen.
He's sinless.
Amen.
Some say that he didn't sin, but He could have. I don't believe a half a second of that. He could not have sinned. There was nothing in Him to sin. He didn't have that old nature because the dew came down first. The Holy Ghost came first. And He couldn't sin. Stand to your feet if you would please. You need some manna this morning. You need some water. What do you need? I tell you, God's going to provide for us. We'll have to trust Him. It's not easy sometimes. I've said, Janet's already heard me say several times preaching, there's some things, Brother Josh, easy to take a text and open it up. Real easy to preach. It's hard to practice.
That's it.
I'm just being honest.
Amen.
There's some things real easy to say. They're hard to live. A bitter experience ain't easy. That's not fun. You say, well, it sounds so simple. Just throw the tree in it. Well, if we can get to that place and get to that point, I believe God will help us. I believe He will. You need some spiritual food today? You hungry? We're living in a dry, barren land, but I still believe God can prepare a table.